Here we're beginning a new sugya on the bottom of the Tesla Bays. It's a new sugya, only that we're going to be focusing on a different dimension of the sugya, but the sugya we've already spoken about a lot. And that starts out with the machlokes between Rav Yosef and Rava. So Rav Yosef once again tells us 5 lines at the bottom, the Rav Yosef plenty Rav La'insi, it's not from the Har Go. But the Tzona Rosh, Matar Matashish Rosh 8. So Rav Yosef held that if the guy walks to the Bays and he gives us the story. The ploni ravani leritzoni. So as soon as he says leritzoni, he's out of bounds. He's already finished. He's already posted the edus, and he's not going to be able to help us out anymore. And it's in that akuda that Rava disagrees with this famous comment of Rav Amma Adam Karvitz Alatzmo and other Mesimatz for Russia. So Rava says no, that Adam is Karvitz Alatzmo and other Mesimatz for Russia. Whether that's one statement, two statements, are there for it. That was already a last sugya. But at the end of the day, Rava subscribes to a principle that the Gemara calls a little bit later on. The famous principle called Pagin and Dibura. So Pagin and Dibura is really a tremendous, tremendous chiddush that Rav tells us, that a guy makes a statement, and his statement was very clear. He said, Kwaini, Narani, Lirtzoni. Now that statement, if you would take the entire statement from beginning to end, there's no way you could use this guy as an aid to kill the other person, because if you nail bay, he's saying that he's possibly aid this. Now again, you don't want to accept that he's possibly aid this because you believe that other Mkarvitz are odds, but other Mace Matsa Rush, that's all fine and dandy. But then if you're not accepting the statements, they're happy to turn around and accept it partially. So this is a tremendous chiddush. It's exactly what Rava's Mechadish does, is that we cut out the word Lirtzoni. We don't really like that word, we don't really want that word. We say ploni rav ani, or perhaps ploni rav of somebody else. It doesn't really interest us where exactly we draw the line right now. Either we draw the line here, we draw the line maybe over here, ploni rav of somebody. Whoever, and wherever line we're drawing, at the end of the day we're drawing a line somewhere. And that's, of course, the famous principle of Pagin Dibura that Rava subscribes to. So this is really the beginning of our sugya. It's, in a certain sense, it's really two sugyas coming up, but we divide it, Pagin Dibura of the sugyas also, that we're going to discuss when we do say Pagin Dibura and when we don't say Pagin Dibura. And this is that there are Gemaras throughout Shas, fine in all directions, which seem to either subscribe to Pagin Dibura or don't subscribe to Pagin Dibura, and we're trying to make some sense out of this. What exactly are the klolim behind this very, very interesting klal that appears in Shas? So much of the discussion of the details of when we do say Pagin Dibura and we don't say Pagin Dibura revolve around the Gemara in Maseches Machas. It's a very, very short Gemara. We have Zion in Maseches Machas. We have exhibit Aelia. Very famous Gemara in Maseches Machas. The top of Zion at Aleph. Eloi Vituvia. Eloi Vituvia, Crave the Arva Havu. Eloi Vituvia were Edom on a loan. I'll try very, very careful how we're going to describe the case. It's called Rashi. Adel Vohayu, they were Adam on a loan, and they happened not to be related neither to the Malvin nor to the Lovin, which sounds like that's a pretty good case. The problem was, they happened to have been Krovim to the Orev. Who is the Orev? Where's the Orev? Where did he come from? The Orev is the cosigner. So when Reuven went to borrow $1,000 from Shimon, so very often Shimon's going to say, listen, you know, I don't know you're going to pay back the money. You know, I'll have to off the money. I want somebody else to co-sign this loan. So fine, that's the parish of Orev. How does Orev work? Where does it come from? What's that whole thing based on? That's still getting the end of a second. We have the principle of Orev. What's it based on? What are the problems with Orev? But for myself, the concept of Orev exists in the halacha. So in this particular case, you had five people. You have a Malva, a Loivan, Orev, and 2 Edim. And lo and behold, the Edim, just by bad luck, happened to be Kraven, to be related to the Orev, even though they're not related to the Malva and Loivan. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, okay, so they're related to the Orev. So hopefully the case won't come to an Orev. So hope and pray the Loiv will pay back the Lord himself. So maybe we don't even need the Orev. So comes the Gemara and says that he loved it to be Kraven, the Arva Hava. So some of the popular name, so a popular thought to say, Gabi Leivu Malva Rechikin. That since they're Rechikim, they're not related to the Malva and the Leiv, great, so let them testify about the Malva and the Leiv, forget the Arif. So Amalei Rav Huna Breda Vishul or Papa, Rav Huna Breda Vishul says to Rav Papa, no. He lays them the Leiv, if the Leiv doesn't have money, La Basa Arva Azal Malva. Isn't the Malva going to go after the Arif? You can't just ignore the Arif. The Arif is here to stay. So whether or not the Arv is going to actually have to pay, we'll determine later. But since the possibility of the Arv having to pay exists, therefore these Edom can in no way, shape, or form testify about this Havah, because they're not much possible the Edus. So this whole Havah, the whole Edus of the Havah just went up in smoke, because since they're Krovim to the Arv, I can't divide them. So So come all the Bisharim and Baba the Kasha, however this Gemara flies in the face of the principle of Pagid and Dibur. Why? What an effect you have are the Krovim who are going to come forward to Beis Din and going to give us a whole Eidus. They're going to tell us a lot of things about this case, right? If and when this makes it to Beis Din, so the Krovim are going to start to tell us that there was a Malva here, and there was a Loiva here, and there was an Ariv here. And they're going to start to tell us that Reuven lent Shimon $1,000 on Rosh Chodesh Nisan at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and a Levi was an Ariv, and happens to be the Ariv of that brother. Wait a second. So Rav Huna ben Yehoshua said, stop. As soon as the Krovim start to testify and they're throwing the word Ariv into here, so we're up the creek, because the Krovim, once the Krovim, we throw the whole thing out. So Frank the Rishon Makasha, what's the big deal? Let the Edom start to blab, they'll start to talk, they'll come to Beis Din, and we'll listen to the whole story, we'll record the whole story, and then we'll press on the words that have anything to do with an Arif based on what principle? Let's accept their Edom vis-a-vis the Mandaloyva, and we'll draw a line, go to line sin right here. We'll leave out the Arif part. Wow, you never heard of Pagin Dibura. You never heard of Sanhedrin and Daftes of Abayis. We do it all the time. So the same way that we're going to be Pagin Dibura and Sanhedrin and Daftes of Abayis, cut out the part that we don't want, the Ritzoni we don't like, let's cut out the part vis-a-vis the Arev as well. That's the question that we shared with. So comes the Balamor. Some people may have had difficulty finding the Balamor. Why do people have difficulty finding the Balamor? Because it's printed in the wrong place. I mean, it's printed in the wrong place. So it's interesting. I picked the Gemara off the shelf in the Beis Medrash, and some guy obviously had realized that, so he crossed out where it says Shul. The Gemara writes Tzarech Lios Balamor. So that's what's supposed to be. So it's a Balamor. So comes a Balamor and says, "Let me explain to you what the difference between Eloi V'Tuvia and Sanhedrin Daftas is all about." But before I can explain it to you, says the Balamor, we have to learn together a sugya that appears in Maseches Bavli Basra. So we'll take a side for a moment before we get to Pagida Dibura, back to Sugi Bavli Basra. Come to the moment of Basra, where's the Kuchav Zayin Rizim? Kuflam Adalat, off by Semba, okay, close enough. Kuflam Adalat, comes the Gemara, oh, Kuflam Adalat, Yakir was on Kuflam Adalat, I knew Bavli Basra, that daf was around the head, give or take. So comes the Gemara in Kuflam Adalat, as there's a whole discussion about the following. A husband walks into Beis Din, we make the following statement. Girashti as ishti. I divorced my wife. Where's the get? Where's the eidim? No, girashti as ishti. Where's the get? I don't know the get. I gave her a get. It's lost. Girashti as ishti. Is he neman? Is he not neman? So anyone who's learning Tafiyomi these days will immediately realize, wow, how could he be neman? That flies in the face of what? Doesn't make any sense. Right? How does he have any nemanos whatsoever to say the girash is ishti? So comes the Gemara, no, he's believed. You know why he's believed? Because of an unbelievable new halachic principle. We've never even seen this principle yet this year. What's the principle called? What's it called? Biyadai. He could divorce her. At moments' notice, he could divorce her. He doesn't even need her. In 2 seconds, he could pull together, aid them, put right up her get. In 20 seconds, he could give her a get and shun. So therefore, what's the therefore? Since it's biyadai to divorce her, it's highly unlikely that what? When he says girash yisishti, it's highly unlikely that he's what? That he's lying. What's the already want to lie? It's so easy. People tend to lie on things when they have to lie. As we've already said before, people are generally honest, trustworthy. The starting point is Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu Asa Adam Yashar. The starting point is that people tell the truth. If a guy has a reason, an incentive, an agenda to lie, then he starts to lie. He has nothing to gain. My honey learned to lie. Let him give the get to his wife right now, right then and there. So therefore the din is a Baal Shem Girash Yisishti. Comes to Gemara and says, that principle of a Baal Shem Girash Yisishti Neman is not always true. What if a guy makes the following statement? What if he says, I was Megarish my wife 20 years ago. Walks away and says, I'd like you to believe me that everything related to the last 20 years, again, there may be demonic issues, maybe you assume it, a lot of factors, a lot of consequences of that statement. I want you to believe me that everything that happened in the last 20 years, Girash Yisishti 20 years ago. Is he Neman? So it's not Biyado to turn the clock back. It's Biyado means that believe me what I'm saying here on in, because I could divorce her in the next 5 seconds from now, so then I have no reason to lie. But lo yitzui that you didn't divorce her, and now you want to come to Beis Din, you have some kind of an agenda, some kind of an incentive to say you divorced her, you don't have a biyado l'sha avar. So the concept of a biyado means become l'haba, not l'sha avar. So comes the Gemara and draws a fine line. If a guy says, listen, I divorced my wife right now. I just accept this from here on in. So now we say he's probably telling the truth beyond Lagarsha. But if he says, Girash is this from Shana, and believe me, for the last 20 years, that's Ois Bia. That's not considered to be Bia, though. So that's the background of the Sugya. Comes the Gemara Basra with the following shot. Everything we said up to now, everyone's masking to? He comes the Gemara and says, Ibailu. Omar lemafreya, mal himune lahabo. What if a guy walks to the base and it says, I divorced my wife 20 years ago? So again, we said, for the last 20 years, when any child of the last 20 years, we're not going to accept. But do we have a right to say, okay, we're not going to accept from what happened 20 years ago, but we will accept what he's saying, mikan lahabo. What is that going to require us to do? It's going to be a very, very fancy stunt we're going to have to pull off over here. He says, Yirashti, es ishti, lemafrei. That means, believe me, from 20 years ago. In order for this stunt to work, what do we have to do? Draw a line and say, Girashti, this issue when? 2 seconds ago. And I didn't hear those words, lemafrei. Those got tossed out the window and like, and sent enough tests. That's like Lertzoni. That doesn't exist, doesn't belong. So can we pull off such a stunt of saying, Pagin and Diburana? So comes the Gemara and quotes about Chlek Yisamer Rai. So he bought them. Amal lemafrei ma'al amun alepa. Mi Pagin and Dibura, Olai Pagin and Dibura. Rav Mariv, Rav Zvid. So Fred Tigmar Kasha, my shnami the Rav, good morning, said Hanan Daftas, the Amarav Ish Plani Balishti, who be Akhmet Sam Hargo, so how come in Sanhedrin we for sure say Paginan, and why the Amarav fighting out here? And for the Gemara, betray Gufe Palginan, Bechad Gufa Lai Palginan, Atkan Devea Gemara. That's it, that's the secret. What's the answer? Between this case, Kirash just Ishti, and Plon Yervan Litzon. What's the difference? Over here, we're dealing with one person. There's one person, one person. We want to know, we're trying to figure out, did Reuven divorce his wife? There are two people, Reuven and Rachel, but I'd say, did Reuven give a get to Rachel or not? That's all we really want to know. Did that information happen? Did that event take place? Vis-a-vis Reuven. There's only one person on the board here. And said, Hedin Daftes, there are a few people on the board. Who are the few people? We're being done on. Was Reuven Ma'ane somebody? Was Reuven Revea somebody? We also want to know whether Shimon was nearby day somebody. Yep. The two different people, two different gofim. So comes the Gemara and says it's partial. When do you say Palginon? Palginon means when you get split between people. So I could Palginon, Plodi Revani Litzoni, by saying, listen, we don't accept what you're saying vis a vis you. But we do accept what you're saying vis-a-vis somebody else. That's a subject, that's a candidate for Pagina. When you have Trey Gufa. When you have Bechad Gufa, what's for Pagina? What a game is it? You're gonna, for the one person, you're going to accept what he said? It doesn't make any sense. So Ad Kandavir Dimah. Comes to Balamor and says, this Yisoid, that Pagina Dibura only makes sense when you're dealing with two different entities that everybody subscribes to. Everybody agrees that Yisoid is Tamish Muskum according to everybody. It's so Muskum, so why is the Machlek in the Gemara? Why is the one man the other that says you can say Pagina even by one person, even by Girash Tasnish, you can say Pagina? Why? So it comes about with Yisoid and says, true, in the case of Girash Tasnish, it's one person, that's true, but it's two what? Two zmanims, two times. So there are two entities. Come more and says, the sugya, the theme that's permeating the entire sugya paginan is one entity you can't split in half. Two entities you can. The machlekes amarayim in Baba Basra is, how do you define girashis ishti lahabon lemafreya? Is that dino like one entity? Or is that dino like two entities? So it's tadim lakan lakan. On the one hand, it's one person. On the other hand, there's two dates on the calendar, two times. So that's where the Amorim part ways. That was the Nesuos Machlokes, the very, very technical detail Machlokes. The basic fundamental rules of Pagin and Dibur is at the bottom, everybody agrees to. Everyone agrees it makes a lot of sense. Pagin and Dibur is a Sfar, Pasha Sfar. No grandiose Jessica, Pasha Sfar. Pagin and Dibur makes sense when there are two separate distinct entities. Pagin and Dibur breaks down when it's one entity. How do you define one versus two? So that's where the Amorim part ways. One Amorim said, well, it's the same person. So you can't say Pagin and Dibur. The other one says, well, it's two Zmanim. If you can't say Pagin and Dibur. But in cases where it's one indivisible unit, so how does it go? How does it pleasure leaders then? One what? Indivisible. Indivisible. machlekes what he's saying under the Rosh Hashanah today's, but you know, maybe now in the post Supreme Court crisis, maybe things will change. But bottom line is indivisible. Can't divide it up. Impossible. Can't divide it. So comes the Balamor and says that's the Yaseid HaDover of when you don't say Pagid and Dibura, when it's one absolute empty L'chola Deis, then absolutely you cannot say Pagid and Dibura. Comes the Balamor and says that's the secret of Ilov Yitzuvia. You want to know why in Ilov Yitzuvia, why Pagid and Dibura breaks down? Because that is like cutting a person in half. Why is that cutting a person in half? Because the Arev and the Lova are one for all and one for all. They're together. They're in this together. That's it. They're all in the same boat. The Lova and the Arev are like one entity that became a Shubba Biyacha to the Balva. They're indivisible. And therefore, look to Balamor, it's not even a candidate for Pagid and Dibura. And it's exactly why the Gemara said, forget it. There's no Pagid and Dibura over here. Since the apostle to the Arev, by definition, the apostle to the Baal Ben Loiv, and the whole case gets thrown out the window. It's because of that absolute ironclad connection to the Loiv and the Arev that made it impossible for this line to separate between the two. Ad kan divrei Balamor. The Rabbi say, the Baal was a big fish. It's not such a big chiddush to say this idea of one entity versus two entities, because it already has roots in the Gemara. But the Gemara does have that idea, chad gufa yeh, tvei gufa lo. So it's not so far-fetched, that idea of the Balamor. But the chiddush, really, the makma patash Balamor, which I can see other Rishonim most probably disagreeing with, is what? How did Balamor know that the relationship between the Lev and the Arev is so close, the mamish, death do they part, they're so close to one another, that that's called chad gufa? I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I would have said that. I'm not sure I would have said it's called Chad Gufa. Chad Gufa means, you know, we're pretty down to earth, scientific, biologically. You know, Chad Gufa means the same body. Chad Gufa pidin, because the Mishnah and Vas that says the sheep of the Arev, like the sheep of the Loiva, that's a pretty big, big stretch.
Presumably, though, the Malva wouldn't have made the loan if the Arev wasn't there. I mean, it's
Ma'akev. Okay, I mean, that's true, man. That's true. You know, that's psychologically true. Maybe even Metzias was true. But that, it's still quite a jump to call Chad Gufa, the same person. If the Lova puts on tefillin, the Arev also has to put on tefillin. It's not the same person. So it's obvious that other Rishonim is going to be looking for other solutions to this problem. The most famous solution to this problem, of course, is given by who? None other than the Ravid. And it's not a big surprise. Again, this is probably not our Ravid, the Rav Abezin, whichever Ravid it was, three Ravids, but we're just going to call it the Shemus Ravid. That the Ramban and the Rosh and all the Rishonim quote, we spoke about this Ravid already last week. We'll hopefully speak about this Ravid more as the year goes on. Famous, famous Ravid in the Sugya of Nimzeh Karv Apostle. Comes the Ravid and says, there are two principles in Hilchos Eidos, at least two, and we're hoping as the Shia develops, we may even find the third. There are two principles in Hilchos Eidos that are similar to one another. People sometimes confuse them because they are similar, but let's just be very, very careful how we're managing them. Sometimes we're addressing the kashrus of a particular Eidos, we're being done on the gavras of the Eidim. We're being done. Is this guy kosher to be an aid? Is this guy kosher to be an aid? Is this guy kosher to be an aid? That's one aspect of Hilchas Eidos. Is the Gavra kosher? Then there's another aspect of Hilchas Eidos. What's the other aspect of Hilchas Eidos? Doesn't focus so much on the person, but rather what? The content of the Eidos itself. So comes the Ravid and says, we can just on our own. Ask an independent one. We don't know anything about Machas Davov. We never learned anything about anything. We just want to ask a theoretical question. When you have Eidos, an Eidos is given that there's some kind of a deficiency in the Eidos. Whether the deficiency is Mitam, one of the Eidim, whether the deficiency is Mitam, the Eidos. There's some kind of a problem on our hands. And I'm asking a simple question. It's a Dr. Berman question. Is this contagious or not? Is the problem contagious or not? That's all I want to know. So can I isolate the problem and say, okay, you have a problem, you have a deficiency, it's okay, by fun. Or do I say, no, this problem is so fundamental, it's going to kill it for everybody. It's going to spread, it's going to contaminate everything here, and it's going to ruin it even for those parts of the Eidim or Eidus that would have otherwise been okay.
This is a life type of a question. You have this all the time. How many you know, issues do you have that come up in life where you're trying to pull something off and a problem seeps in? An issue seeps in. So sometimes the issue that seeps in is a localized, that's like a localized infection. You know, we can deal with it, give some little topical antibiotic, and you know, everyone's going to survive, and we'll move on. And sometimes it's something that permeates the entire being. Am I right? That confirms so far in the good. Okay, good. So far, so good. So this is true in life. Sometimes you have a crisis in life. Come on, you guys all know about this. Come on. You have a relationship with somebody, you have a job. So you're in a job, and there's a lot of problems. But, you know, you deal with the problems. You deal, you know, locally, you deal with the problems, and the job fundamentally is okay. The relationship is fundamentally okay, and there's a little bit of a problem. Sometimes the problem is so basic, so fundamental, that it ruins, it poisons the atmosphere of the entire relationship. So that's the question that the Raifid raises for us. When we're dealing with psulim that are seeping into Hilchas Eidus, bein mitam the gavra, bein mitam the Eidus proper, at what point do we put our foot down and say, this is just so bad, it's so off, it's going to kill it for everybody? So comes in and says, how would we even begin to judge this? How would we even begin to know when to say we have a problem that permeates everything and when we can kind of localize the problem? So we have to look for psukim for this and make this up. Smart. So this notion that you can sometimes have a problem in Eidus that's going to ruin it entirely has its sources in what Mishnah would I say? I think we've heard this Mishnah once or twice. Makas Davei Beis, Makas Davei Vavam Ralph. The sugya of Nim Tzeach Mena Eidim Krov Mepsulim. That's Mamish the sugya. Three Eidim walk in the Beis then. Two of them are kosher. But there's one Ninkinbub who walked in also. The brother walked in, the Rosh Bechal Shabbos walked in also. So what do I say? Do I say it's a localized problem? Let's isolate the problem. How do you isolate the problem of the Rosh? You throw him out. And Baruch Hashem, he's neutralized. And now you have two Eidim. Pishtam Eidim Rechum Dover. That's what I would have said. So comes the Torah and says, no, not so fast, not so simple. You can't just do that. Not so simple. And therefore, comes the Torah's Bechadish, when you have a Korov, you have a Rosh, Apostle, etc., those problems are so contagious that they're ruined for everybody. But linked within the Adin of Shloisha Eidim, that Chiddush Torah, within that chumra of Shloisha Eidim, there's a kula also. The Torah itself puts the brakes on that din with two magic words. We spoke about this almost last week. What are the two magic words? Yachum Dovim, Mekhaim Vidovim, Kos Vidovim. The Gemara itself, in Makas Avav, says that even that unbelievable Chiddush HaTorah, that the psul, the Eidim, psulim spreads, it doesn't always spread. Sometimes we can isolate the problem. When can we isolate the problem? The secret, says the Raivit, is Mekhaim Vidovim, Kos Vidovim. And what does that phrase mean? So, of course, this is the Raivit speaking, not like the Re and Taisus who says Mekhaim Vidovim is talking about something totally different, namely, you need HaGod of Avazdin. We're not even down that route. The Raivit says, no, you know what Mekhaim Vidovim means? Mekhaim Vidovim means the Torah itself is telling you, that Eidim are contagious. That's only if they're, what's the key word? If they're Eidim. If they're Eidim, then they're contagious. If they're monkeys, then what? Then they're not contagious. It's a different strand of a flu. It doesn't spread to human. It doesn't spread to Eidim Ksherim. Try to get a little more mushal. Don't know that mushal was so good. It's but he's not an Eid altogether. I have nothing to worry about. He doesn't affect me. He's there. He's not kosher. He's not going to help me. He's not going to help me. He's not going to hurt me either. Not everything in life that doesn't help doesn't necessarily hurt. So when you have two Eidim and a monkey walking the basement together, that's why I just say, yeah, the monkey's just babbling away. So that's what the Raivid Lim Shad and Davov says. When you have a Baldover is like a monkey. A Baldover walks in the basement, it doesn't register. If it doesn't register, that's good it doesn't register. It's not contagious, it doesn't ruin for us either. That's the Gzeres HaKosov of the Raivid. Two Gzeres HaKosov. Shnayim HaShloisha, that's the basic baseline halacha that psulim are contagious. Yachum Dava puts the brakes on it and says, no, psulim are not always contagious. They're only contagious when they're an Eid apostle, when the Gavra is an Eid apostle. So this Kineid, it's not contagious. Now, come to Raivid, and he says, we can extrapolate from those psukim to another form of potential problems in Eidus. But here, we're no longer talking about the Gavra anymore. We're talking about the what? We're talking about the content of the Eidus itself. There's an Eidus that is said that just can't, it can't register amazing. We just can't, you can't listen to this. It doesn't register amazing. comes the Raivin and says, whenever you have an Eidos that doesn't register in Beis Din, you have to ask yourself, well, what does that mean exactly? What do the words mean, it doesn't register in Beis Din? Tell me the word. What do the words mean, it doesn't register in Beis Din? That means it's a zero? Or it's an Eidos that was said? That is a what? It's an Eidos that was said, that's a what? It's a Posel Eidos. Not that it's a zero. Not that it was nothing. It was just Rambam Taylor. It's a Posel Eidos that was said. So instead, based on that principle, that we could differentiate between two clones. There are two halachas that at first glance mamish contradict one another. What are they called? One principle is called Eidos Shabbat La Mitzasa Batla Kula. There's a principle in Eidos called Eidos Shabbat Mitzasa Batla Kula. On the other hand, we have two words that are mamish the exact contradiction to that principle. What are those two words? Pagin Dibura. Pagin and Dibura. What's going on? How can Chazal say both principles at the same time? The mamish contradiction. So comes the Rabbi and says they're not a contradiction. But Medvar Mamur, we say Eidos Shabbat L'Miktsasa Bat L'Kula. When you have an Eidos that's said in Beis Din, and part of that Eidos is Chal on it Hashem Eidos. It's Chal on it Hashem Eidos. Aber it's an Eidos Shabbatela. Once the Eidos is Batela B'Miktsasa, It's what? It's Batela B'Kula. Hagidin Dibura means, is it Eidos was said? The Beis Din's ears were closed. It didn't even register. Zoch deriven, that's the difference between Ilor V'Tuvia and Sanhedrin of Tesla Beis. In Sanhedrin of Tesla Beis, a guy gave an Eidos. What was he? Pliny Ravani Lertzaini. Saying Lertzaini is not a kosher Eidos. But just how bad is that Eidos? Is it an Eidos that's an Eidos B'Psul? Or is it an Eidos that doesn't register B'Chlal? Zoch deriven, L'Shitasai, it's an Eidos that what? What is it? Eidos that doesn't register. If it doesn't register, then it just came on the Lesa. It's like Makabe Dover, Kasme Dover. This is not called Makabe Dover. This is a nothing. And then we just take what we want and discard the rest. When you have Eidim, Ilor V'Tuvia, walk into Beis Din and give the following testimony. They say, listen, let me tell you what happened. The Loiva and our brother are mechuyif to pay money to the Malva. So they just gave an Eidos. They gave an Eidos. And linked in their Eidos is an Eidos Shabbat L'Miktsasa. Why is it Eidos Shabbat L'Miktsasa? Because an Eidos that's said about a Karov is a Posel Eidos. Dr. Raivin says, it's a Posel Eidos, it's not a non-existent Eidos, it's a Posel Eidos. It's not on par with a Lertzaini. Lertzaini is this Eid of them is a Baldov is a garnish. But once you make a statement of something relevant to your Karov, that's like Minta Karov Apostle. It's not the same as Minta Karov Apostle. Minta Karov Apostle means there are three Eidim, and two of them are Kosher, and one of them is Apostle. Here, only two Eidim. There is no third guy, but only two Eidim, but they're Kosher for part of the case, and Apostle for the other part of the case. Dr. Raivin, Ilor V'Tuvia is the halach equivalent of what? Ilor V'Tuvia is like Nimtza Echad Karav Apostle. Nimtza Karav Apostle means that one of the Gavras is Apostle. Here, part of the Eidos is Apostle. Pagin and Dibura is similar to what? To what? To Nirva Rayatzil, Hara Yatzil, those kinds of things, where we could just ignore it because it wasn't Teifas altogether. In the case of Nirva, Nerog, etc., that's where the Gavra didn't register. Here, the Eidos didn't register. The Chiyai Gavna, it's not contagious. It's a localized problem. Just chop it off, cut it off, and move on. Everybody, the rest of the body is completely healthy. That's the Asari for the Raivid. So the bottom line is, we have Machlekes Ba'un the Raivid. What is the driving force in the Sugya? Pagini Dibura clearly exists sometimes. That's a Hanadav test. On the other hand, Machas Dav Zayin clearly doesn't exist. What differentiates between the two? So the Balamor said, it's all based on the Gemara of Basra. It's one entity versus two entities. The problem with the Balamor was, he had to then go and assume that that's called one entity. Whenever you have an Arav and a Loiva, that's one entity. The Ravid says, no, do it one and two, and it's a different klal, totally different word. The klal is, it all depends on, is it a non-entity of Eidus or non-entity of Eidim, or is it an Eidus Psula or Eidim Psula?
When we did Nimsef Amon Krova Pasuk, Machlokas Rishon, how to understand once are considered one cot. There's only work according to the opinion that they're possible they come in together and testimony together, not according to one. Because the whole point is, once you give testimony, then it's counted and it's called invalid testimony.
I'm not sure if it's related. I'm not sure if that's how you're related. There, the question was, how do you define whether a person who's called an aid is a Haggadah's Eidus or Shasriya? It'll happen to be that the Ravi disagrees with the Ri, because the Ri's whole Shita was based on that. That's what Mekayim Davar Kasat Medav meant. That was the whole source for the Ri. It meant Shasagar Rebeis. That the Ravi who learned Mekayim Davar totally different is not going to be able to learn Pshat in the Gemara 3. So it could be it's indirectly related, but I don't think it's conceptually related. So let's say, in light of these two Mahalach and the Balamon and the Rive, they were Chavrusas, the Balamon and the Rive, they were young, they lived together from Russia. So the Balamon and the Rive had two very, very different approaches to when we do Sepak Yedibur, when we don't Sepak Yedibur, now has to be understood in light of a Yerushalmi. So it is a Yerushalmi that the Rif, in Masechus Matos quotes, everyone saw the Rif, up at the Rif of Ramah Kamas. The Rib quotes Yerushalmi, it's actually Machlokes Yerushalmi. HaKaisid Mechosel L'Shnei B'nei Odom. The guy writes a shtar, two different people, wants to give away part of his property, some to Reuven, some to Shimon, it's all the same document, same shtar, that's fine. And there are two Eidim signed on the bottom, and lo and behold, what? What's the problem? What? The Eidim Akrovim L'Zeh, V'Chaikim L'Zeh. Right, it happens to be that one of the recipients of the Matana, he's fine, he clears, but the other recipient of the Matana happens to be the brother, the cousin, etc., of the Eidim, one of the Eidim, two of the Eidim. So what do you do with the shtar? So you have one of two choices. You take the whole shtar and rip it up and throw it into the garbage. Well, you say, no, maybe we can salvage part of the shtar. Part of the shtar that the property that was given to the Karav, obviously, is not going to make it to Bezin. There's no way we can use the shtar to Paskin in this case, based on the edus of the relative, but maybe we can at least salvage half the shtar vis-a-vis the other half of the property. So that's actually a machlekes nigmar. Machlekes nirushalmi. The Rif quotes this Rishalmi and sides to the Machmirim. That's not a problem. Kaisim nechasal v'shtev yad v'chakar v'chim rachalik edim takha the matan is not going to be chal. So come to Rishalmi again, begin to scramble and start to raise a question. What happened to what, Rabbi Isai? What happened to Pagirat Dibura? Why can't we just say, it says in the Shtar, Reuven, Mochar, Sada, Shimon, Sada, Levi, and then two Eidim sign on the bottom, say Don and Naphtali sign on the bottom. It happens to be that Don is related to Levi. It happens to be his first cousin, I don't know, married into him, whatever, Tasha. So comes Yerushalmi and says, we throw the whole shtar out. Why? Pagin and Dibura. Let's just take the part of the Eidus that we want, vis-a-vis Shimon, and we'll reject the part about Levi. So what would you say about that? Should you say Pagin and Dibura, should you not say Pagin and Dibura? So the Yerushalmi says it's a problem. The whole shtar is thrown out. What happened to Pagin and Dibura? So comes the Balamor once again, comes to the rescue, says the Balamor, be the Shitosi. Says the Balamor, what's the factor? There's only one factor. In determining what undermines the ability to say Pagin and Dibura, says the Balamor, what is it? Guf Echad. If it's Guf Echad, it's impossible. Comes the Balamor and says, you're going to look at the shtar, and I know what you're going to tell me, says the Balamor. Your knee-jerk reaction is, this is a prime candidate for Pagin and Dibura. Why? They're two different people. Shimon and Levi are two different people. Gavaldik, Pagin and Dibura. What does the Balamor say? You misunderstood how to define Chad Gufa. What is remember, the Balamor had a very, very Lomdish version of what Chagufa is. Remember? Who else did the Balamor turn into one entity? Balamor turned the Lovid and Arv into one unit. Guess what? The Balamor does the same trick here also when he says, Shimon and Levi are one and indivisible. You know why they're indivisible? They don't even know each other. Why are they indivisible? Because they're in the same document. They're in the same shtar. Reuven made them one. All for one and one for all. One Shimon and Levi are the recipients of the Matana, the same exact piece of paper, they're indivisible, they're called Chagufa, and therefore, once it's Chagufa, Pagin Dibur is not an option. So Balamor says, this is perfect, this Rishalmi makes a lot of sense, this is my idea, this is exactly what I meant. Could one even explain possibly the other day in the Shabbat Rif doesn't address the sheet that we don't paskin like? There's one sheet in the Rishama that says, no, it's okay. So what do you think that sheet would say, according to the Balamor? That shtaris don't make into one person. It's both days in the Rishama agree to the fundamental principle that it's chad gufa versus trey gufa. But there are nuances. What's called chad gufa, what's called trey gufa? Not all that different than the Gemara of Basra. But we saw, according to the Balamor, everybody agrees it's chad gufa versus trey gufa. Questions whether two Zmanim is that called Chagufa, Tregufa? So again, those are nuances, those are details. Where do you draw the line as to what's called Chagufa, Tregufa? But the basic principle runs the same according to the Balamor. So according to the Balamor, everything is Gevaldic, everything is perfect, everything is beautiful. We have that Klom when you do Sipa Gibura, when you don't Sipa Gibura. This Yishami fits in beautiful. Everything is Shalom HaYisrael. What would the Ravid say about this Rishami? The Ravid, look at this Rishami. The Rif passing like Rishami. Gaval, you don't tip a gidibura. What happened to pagid dibura? The rabbi would laugh and we say, what's about pagid dibura? What did the pagid? This is the love of you. What's wrong with this? This is krovim. Krovim means the aid is registered. This is Eidah Shemal B'Tzasa B'Lakua. It's not Pagir Dibur. Remember, according to the Ravid, the difference between Eidah Shemal B'Tzasa in contrast to Pagir Dibur is in one case the Eidah is registered, in the other case the Eidah didn't register. If it's an Eidah B'Psul, then you can't say that undermines the ability to say Pagir Dibur. So according to the Ravid, this Rishab is also Gevaldik. Everything's great. Everyone's a happy day in Tiberia, right? Rishami, everyone's happy. Balboa's happy to Rishami. The Ravid's happy to Rishami. Everyone's Gevaldik. Except a few Rishonim weren't so happy with this Rishami. A few Gaonim weren't so happy. Haigon, Ephraim, so early Gaonim and Rishonim were not so happy with this Rishami. They were very, very upset with this Rishami. And they said, you know, we're not so sure that we should even postulate this Rishami. It's a Bachleks in the Rishami itself. We're not so sure we should postulate this Rishami. You know why? Because it could be Zochti's Ge'enim, Haigon, Fayim, the early Ge'enim and Rishonim said, you know, maybe the other day in Rishonim is the more correct view. Because maybe the root of the Machloikis in Rishonim is just a restating of a Machloikis where? Some head and daftas asked Sugya, namely, do you accept Pagid and Dibura? Or do you reject Pagid and Dibura? Remember, not everybody believed in Pagid and Dibura. You know, we're sitting back 1,500 years later, assuming everyone accepts Pagid and Dibur, we're trying to figure out when, where, what, if. Who disagreed with Pagid and Dibur and Arasugya? Rav Yosef never heard of it. Rabbi was Mechadish Rav Yosef, Pagid and Dibur, Rav Yosef never heard of Pagid and Dibur. So it's quite possible there was Machlaikis back in Tiberia also, the same way as Machlaikis in Bavel, at the same time, approximately. The same way the Amorim were fighting it out in Bavel, yeah, Pagid and Dibur, no Pagid and Dibur, it could be the Amorim and Eretz Yisrael fighting out the same Machlaikis. So, okay, so in Bavel, they came up with this very creative case of Plunder of Anil Ritzoni. In Eretz Yisrael, they weren't as creative. They came up with a simple case of a Reuven Macha Sadal Shimon Sadal Levi. It's all the same thing. It's all the same shot. Yeah, Pagin Boy, name Pagin Boy. It's all the same thing. And therefore, it's quite possible that La Halacha, that we do accept Pagin Dibura. Guess what else we accept? What else do we accept? That maybe the Shtar is really what? Maybe the Shtar is kosher. So there are Ge'enu who say, maybe the Shtar Tanya is kosher. Because maybe Pagid Dibura saves the day. Okay. Or you could say, if you don't want to go so radical and say, like I just said, that maybe we have to paskin against the Dan Yisham because Pagid Dibura. Maybe you could argue that those Ge'enu, Haigon, and Ephraim held that everyone agrees to Pagid Dibura. Except this is a very, very questionable Pagid Dibura, because remember, the Balamor made it really, really questionable. Balamor had to push this into the category of Pagid Dibura by saying that this is called Chagufa. Maybe it's not called Chagufa. Maybe it's two different people, two different stories. This goes around the same shtar that makes them automatically married to one another forever and ever. That's Chagufa. Love Dafka. So we have a lot of reasons to believe that we're not even so sure that this din is true. We're not even so sure that we threw off this entire shtar. The Balamor was assuming like the riff we threw out the shtar, so Balamor explained, I'll tell you why I threw out the shtar, because it's chaguf. The Ravad Kazakh, we accept the riff, we threw out the shtar, I'll tell you why I threw out the shtar, because it's an Eidus B'Psul. But other Rishonim aren't so sure that we throw the shtar. Maybe we talk with Sepagim Dibura. Maybe this is the kind of case which is Trey Gupi. So for sure Sepagim Dibura. Unclear what the final outcome of the Rishonim would be. But I thought about him within the two major lines of Rishonim in our sugya, the two basic Mahachmud of sugya, Balmoner and the Raivit, whether the focus is on Chai Guf versus Trey Guf, with all the nuances, or whether the focus is on an Eidus that's not registering versus an Eidus Lipsul, either way, the Rif Shita and the Rishami, the Rif Psach and the Rishami could still be understood. Any other Gemaras? Anything else about Pagim? Any other Gemaras that shed a light on Pagim and Dibura? This is another Gemara. The Gemara Masech is Gittin Dafches. But we need a little bit of background, maybe a lot of background, to understand, to appreciate where Gittin Daf Ches is coming from. Anyone remember what I was getting recently? If you hear me? Anyone remember the Beis and Masechus Gittin? The first Mishnah in Gittin. So the problem is when the yeshivas don't Gittin, so they very often don't get past Daf Ches. So your average bracha thinks that all of Gittin is before Nech and before Nech. There's a world of Gittin after before Nech and before Nech. But the first Mishnah tells us that maybe get him to say, "Yeah, tzarech shiur b'fai nech b'fai nech." A little chazar by saying, "Why do you have to say b'fai nech b'fai nech b'fai what? And why only in Chutz Laaretz? What do you have to say b'fai nech b'fai? What's going on?" So much like it's Rabbi and Rava, famous one is Rabbi and Rava. The Rabbi says, "No, chazar guys, what does Rabbi say? You have to say b'fai nech b'fai." Because not everyone in Chutz Laaretz knew that getting have to be written l'shma. Chos of love l'shma. That's a major psul d'araisa. So not only about the getting was off the par in Chutz Laaretz at the time. And therefore we're afraid that maybe somebody made a mistake and they wrote a get shalom v'shma and gevalt gets posel in the Torah. So therefore the shliach has to be able to tell us b'fai nech b'fai nechdom. But he didn't say l'shma, so that's a machlokes. How exactly does his saying b'fai nech b'fai nechdom solve the problem? According to Rabbi, the problem was that we don't know it's l'shma, so somehow his saying b'fai nech b'fai nechdom accomplishes that feat. It solves that problem. That was the techem z'chalom. The Gemara is clear at the beginning of Masechus Gittin that this is not a real chashash d'araisa. Min HaTorah, we can pretty safely assume that but they didn't, even if Chutz Laaretz knew the din, based on what principle? How do you know? Maybe they didn't know the din. Based on what? Based on Rov. Very obvious is the next part. Based on Rov. Rov, what they didn't do know the din. It's highly unlikely that somebody didn't know the din. So Min HaTorah, the shlich could bring the get, and we don't have to ask him anything, we just assume everything's okay, and the woman can get married, no problem, his child will sit enough, doesn't matter, Rov, Acharam Mahathas, beats everything. Rov is math of everything and finish. So Midderaisa, there's no need to question the Shalich any further. But Midderabban and the Chum didn't like that. You know why? Because on the outside chance that this get was really written with Sul, it's going to be such a mess later on. The Shalich is going to bring the get. We're not going to ask him. We're going to line the Rov. And the husband's going to start, come back 20 years later, start screaming. He's going to be mighty loud that the kids that she got married, the kids of Amzeh, it's going to be a big mess. So therefore, you know what, let's just nip the palm of the bud. Even though Minatur, we don't have to do it, let's ask the Shalich anyway and ascertain with absolute 100% certainty that this get was written in Lishma. That's Rava's version of the Mishnah. And Rava had a different version of the Mishnah. Rava says, that's not what we're concerned about. Who's afraid about Lishma? Everyone knows Lishma. Not even the latest of Suffolk. Rava says there's another problem. You know what the problem is? The problem is that someday, possible, the shliach's going to come, bring the get, the woman's going to get married, no one's going to question the validity of the get, but someday the husband may come popping in. 10 years from now, the husband's going to come running in and say, "What happened to my wife?" I said, "What happened? You sent the get 10 years ago." "I sent the get 10 years ago? I don't know what you're talking about." "What do you mean? Here's the get. We have it here. Signed by Einim." What does the Baal say? "It's Mezuyev. It's a forgery. It's never signed by Einim. No such people. It's a forgery. It's Mezuyev. Gevald geschrigen, how are we going to solve that problem?" "It's no big deal. We all learn super second breath. What are we going to do?" "We'll keep shtaras. We'll get 2 Eidim who recognize the signatures and then shalom Yisrael and tell the guy to go jump in the lake." That would be the normal protocol. And that's what you do when a get comes to the Eretz Yisrael. This is exactly what you do. The husband comes in kvetches. We bring in Yiskai, get b'chayismuf and shut. In Chutz Laaretz, Chazal were afraid to do that, says Rav. You know why? Because in Chutz Laaretz, the traffic wasn't as well. People didn't know each other so well. People weren't so friendly in Chutz Laaretz. So you had people coming. You're going to bring a get from China, and you're going to bring it to Bavel. Who in Bavel is going to know what the Eidim signed in China? So it's going to be a big bug. It's going to be hard to try in Eretz Yisrael. It was Bizman Aliyah Regel. People were always coming and going. Everybody knew each other. Everyone was all friendly with each other. So people would probably be able to find somebody who recognized the signatures. Here, I hear a get which says on it, you know, Joe Smith and John Doe. How am I going to know who these Eidim are? No one's ever going to figure out how to do Mekandish the Chasimus, and the Baal's going to come and scream Mizuyah. It's going to be a gefelch, terrible. So to avoid that whole problem, Chazal said, you know what? Let's have the Shaliach come forward before we even give the get and say, this get is good. And therefore, the Baal comes in 20 years from now, we'll tell him to jump in the lake. That was the goal of the Farnach. It was to solve any potential tiredness of the Baal, that's Mizuyah. I fact, how does this work? It's only an Eidachot. How does it work? So the Gemara says, because Minatura, the Baal doesn't even have a Tainus Mezuyah. Why? Now, why doesn't the Baal have a Tainus Mezuyah from Minatura? Who remembers? Because of our favorite klal. What's our favorite klal in Shtaras? Eidim Hawa? Eidim Chasub L'Shtar Nachsek Mishnech Yudus Mevezim. Once Eidim signed on a document, it's as if the Eidus is done, it's interrogated, the witness is signed, sealed, and delivered. So Minatura, we have no Chashash. Minatura, when the husband says to get his Mezuyah, we throw him out the window. But Midirabanan, he has such a Taina. So they normally insist that you need Kim Strauss with two Eidim. Mishumiguna, to make it a little bit easier for her, because it's hot to write two Eidim, so we'll get away with one Eid, named the Shaliach. So those are the two very, very different approaches how to understand the first eight plot of Maseches Gittin. Rabbah, the entire first eight plot of Gittin, according to Rabbah, have to do with some Chashash of Shalom Vishma, and we have to overcome that Chashash. According to Rabbah, the first eight plot of Gittin have to do with some Chashash of maybe the husband will tie the Mezuyah down the line, and we have to overcome that Chashash. Then the Gemara has one of the biggest letdowns in history. What is that? You spend, in average yeshiva, they start in September, by January, they're still hacking with Rabbah and Rabbah, and everyone thinks it's a machleg, it's a machleg, it's a machleg, and then what does the Gemara say? Rabbah is laid to Rabbah. Rabbah also holds Rabbah's chashash. So there goes the first 6 months of this month. Okay, so Rabbi say, bottom line is, there are two different chashashes. Okay, the Gemara works out the details, whether you are chashash for this, two different chashashes. That's the first eight plot of Maseches Gittin. Then, the next couple of Batin Gittin start talking about another kind of Ishtar that's very, very similar to a Geth. What is that? Ishtar Shichur of Nevet Kinaini. Why is it so similar to a Geth? Because the whole Mokor for Ishtar Shichur of Nevet Kinaini, how do you know you're free in Nevet Kinaini with a Ishtar? How do you know? Where does it say in the Chumash? Where does it say in the Chumash anything about free in Nevet Kinaini? Where is the parish of Chumash about Shichur and Nevet Kinaini? It's roundabout. It's in the most strangest place. It's in the parish of, what else? Parish of Kedoshim? In the parish of Shivcha Charufa. What's a Shivcha Charufa? If you know the answer, then you're smarter than the Tanoim. The Tanoim weren't sure what it was. What's a Shivcha Charufa? Torah describes the following scenario. You have this girl. She's a Shivcha. The Shivcha Necherefes Le'ish. So she's necharefes to a man. Necharefes is like almost like a Lashon Kedushin. She's designated for a man. She's utot married to a man. But she's not really married. Why? For hafdei lo nifdasa. What does that mean, hafdei lo nifdasa? Hafdei means she was redeemed. What does lo nifdasa mean? She was redeemed. It's like v'naki lo yanaki. What does it mean? Is she peduya? Is she not peduya? Unclear. Oh, chuvsha lo nitan la. Or her, what's chofesh? Her vacation, her freedom was not given to her. So is she a shivcha? She's not a shivcha. I mean, she sounds like she is a shivcha. On the other hand, she is peduya. So what is she? Well, we're not really sure. And now what happens? Some guy's mezana with her. So on the one hand, she was designated to a man. On the other hand, she wasn't really fully married, clearly. And somebody else was mezana with her. So what do we say about that somebody else? He was a bol nishizish, right? He should be chayav misa, right? Wrong. Torah comes to Torah and says, "Lo yumsu, ki lo chupasha." So they're not really chay misa. Neither him or her is really chay misa because she was never really freed. If she would have been freed, she would have been a regular bas yisrael, like a giyores, a shivcha mishachras is like a giyores, and she would get married. It's not a chelo sinuf. It's an eishes ish. So she's a quirk of an eishes ish. She's almost like an eishes, but not quite. That's the parasha of shivcha rufa. What happens? Normal eishes ish chay misa. You bring a korban chatas b'shogeg. What do you do for this? A wild thing. You bring an asham. We say it every day. This lady made into our daily davening for those who bother to say karbanos. What do we say? Zivchei sham esivat eilos asham gazelas asham. Asham shivcha charufa. The lucky lady. Esher shivcha charufa. One year in Shavuos night, the year I was learning with Sechas Krisos, everything up to the sugya of Shivcha Charufa. I was in the whole night Shavuos night. I was standing and learning through the sugya's increase about Shivcha Charufa. Ah, come off the time, Shivcha Charufa. I went wild the next morning. Who knows why? Who knows why? Why I go wild right before davening? I couldn't control myself. There's only one person in the Beis Medrash was able to talk to me about this, Rabbi Simon. Because in Oida Lakel, you know, there's like this tefillah that some people say right before davening on Shavuos morning. So in the Y Beis Medrash, they sing Oida Lakel. So there's a line, it speaks about how the neshama, you know, Levav Chayke, right, how the neshama goes back to. So there's a line in there, who's a buck in Oida Lakel? It says in there how the neshama goes back like it's necharefes or something. It uses the lashon of the neshama is necharefes. I think, wow, that's like min hashamayim. They spent the whole night learning shiv charufa, and now kama shivcha necharefes. It says it goes. It's like trying to avoid being tummy like a shivcha necharefes. Sometimes kind of the lashon is. It kind of blew my mind. Anyway, Rabbi Simon was the only one who appreciated. No one else knew that stuff. Okay, so basically, getting back to the story. So, in the middle of this wild parish of Hashim Charufa, tucked away in Parish Kedoshim, the Torah alludes to how she would have gone free. She happened not to have gone free, but how she would have gone free. Oh, chufsha, lanita lo. She didn't receive hachofesh. What's hachofesh? What is this chufsha? So, nu, vishteid halacha mashu b'sinai. We have a gzeri shava, la me'isha. It says the word la, oh, chufsha lanita lo. And it says, v'chos of la, sefer krisos. So the Gemara says, b'sefer gittin, all the dinim of get isha, achal on a shivcha, not just a shivcha rufa, on any shivcha kenainis, or any evet kenaini for that matter, the method of freeing an evet kenaini or a shivcha kenainis is identical to the method of freeing a woman. You have to write a get, you have to write a shtar, and that's the base for a shtar shichur. It also is a shtar shichur. Anyone ever see a shtar shichur? Somebody has a, someone in the Five Towns, he has a copy from 500 years ago, of a mamash of a real shtar shichur, which was worth that. That's a piece of a real authentic shtar shichur. We haven't written them in American quite some time, for obvious reasons. Okay, so everybody say, so o shivcha, o shtar, o chuvshal anitan la, that teaches us all adinim. So just as a getisha has to be the shema, and a getisha can't be a mechubar, all adinim of a getisha, a chal and a shtar shichur as well. Therefore, the Mishnah tells them that midirabbanon, when they instituted the din of a maybe get midir sayam, tzorach shiyom b'fay nechta fay nechtam, midirabbanon, they instituted that same din for a shtar shichur as well. And a person has to, what? A person has, when the shaliach comes and he testifies, but he gives us, brings a shtar shichur midir sayam, he's neman to say b'fay nechta fay nechtam. This is still the background. There is a din that this takanas acham of a maybe get is never to say but finecha finecha. It's such a big kula mit the rabbanon that they pretty much did away with all the psule edus. The people who would normally not be acceptable, except for maybe one or two, but the people who are generally not acceptable in edus are acceptable here also. And hechad is good, not everyone's good. And comes the mission at the end of the second parak of Gittin, remember Daf Yomi a couple of weeks ago. Afa isha atzma nemenas lomar but finecha finecha. Listen to this one. The woman herself could be the shaliach. This is a real stunt. The Gemara had spent the whole Amr at the end of the Sefer Yechavim getting to how you do this. A husband appoints the wife to be the shaliach to bring the get to who? To herself. So you have to figure that one out. How does that play out? Lamaisa, I'm not learning getting right now. But Afa Isha Atzman Amenas to say B'fay Nechtam, B'fay Nechtam. And there's no more need for Kim Shtaros, everything is Shalom HaYisrael. If that's true about a get isha, what else is it going to be true about? All the dinim carry over to what? Shtar shichur. So if an evet kenaini walks into Beis Din and he says, "Listen, I just came from China and I'm the shaliach for my adon to give the shtar shichur to myself," however that's going to play out, I ain't getting the end of second bar. And he says, "Listen, let me tell you, I was there before nechah, before nechdom." We say, "Great, wonderful, you're neman." And if, even if the Adam comes 20 years later and starts to claim mezuyof, we don't need the etikim anymore. We don't need the kind of shtar. He's neman. Afa evet atzmo is. This is all the background. Okay, one last piece of background. What if a Baal, an Adon, writes a Shtar Shichur, a very modern washer. Normally Shtar Shichur means, you write, Harea, Hareta Ben Chayrin, right? Hareta Ben Shichur, those little standard Lashonis. What does the guy do? Listen to this. The Adon transfers ownership on all of his property to who? To the Eved. To Shtashikr. You know why? Because what's part of the property of the Adon? The Eved. So he says, I'm giving you all my property. And he hands it to the Shtar, to the Eved. Givaldik. Now trouble starts. The Eved was appointed as a Shaliach to bring the Shtar to the Eved, to himself. He walks with the Beis Din and he says the following statement about the Shtar. B'fanei nechtav or b'fanei nechtam. What do you think? In terms of the shichur part of that shtar, sounds great, because in Eved is Neman, Isha is Neman, Nemenis. But there's a whole other dimension of the shtar. What is that? All the nechasim. There's another, this is the shtar Mammon, it's like a shtar in any other nechasim. If I walk at the Beis Din and I say, yeah, this shtar Mammon was written before Nechta, that's meaningless. Before Nechta, makes sense by a get, makes sense by a shtar shichur, and it's absolutely zero bearing vis-a-vis a regular shtar mammon. How do you makayim a regular shtar mammon to prevent mezuyah? What do you have to do? You need first, you need to aid them. So therein begins the sugya in Masechet Gittin of Ches Meveis. When the Eved Kenani, this crazy, wild, nutty case, the Eved Kenani walks in from China with the shtar nechasim, which included liquid the shtar nechasim, is the shtar shechur, it's all the same. And he comes and he says, so we can accept him vis-a-vis the shichur part. We can't accept him vis-a-vis the nechasim part. What does the smack of Rabbi say? All the alarm bells are going off. What do we call this? Potentially palgin and dibura. This is a potential palgin and dibura issue, because we're accepting what he's saying for half the story, and we're rejecting what he's saying for the other half of the story. Thus, is palgin and dibura. So that's the question. Is this Pagin Dibura? Is this not Pagin? Is this our sugya? Is this a different sugya? How would the Ravid relate to this? How would the Balamor relate to this? Are we learning the right sugya? Did we just spend 15 minutes talking about something irrelevant? Not the first, not the last time. Nothing's really irrelevant, just irrelevant to our sugya. So what's the deal? What's going on? So that's Shem tomorrow. We'll have to continue with this part of the sugya of Ches and try to put the final touches, at least after this sugya. But I'm not now.